Okay, we'll go ahead and call the regular meeting of the Board of Directors Thursday, September 5th, 2024. In order, can we please rise for the flag salute?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Director
Ms. Durbin.
Director Sesenia.
I'm here.
Director Forcroy.
Here.
Director Gatchel.
Here.
Vice President Womack.
Present.
President Uhlsky.
Present. Okay. Announcement of closed session items. We have a public employment under Government Code Section 54957, subsection B, subsection 1. The title is District Legal Counsel Review. So, we'll adjourn to closed session.
There's no public comment online.
We'll be back in less than 15 minutes. Can't come back any sooner, I'm sorry. All right, we'll be back around 6-ish. What? We'll reconvene to open session at 6 p.m. There is no report out of closed session this evening. So we'll move on to item number 6, which is the public safety reports. The first item is the fire department report.
Good evening. It's been a little while since I made this meeting.
I didn't recognize you.
Getting hurt and being gone on fires and whatnot. So I'm glad to be back. Have a brief report for you. I'm sure there's probably some questions, being my absence has been a little bit. So I'll go through the quick fire department report. Not a whole lot to report emergency-wise. We have been busy traveling about the state. Some of our personnel from the station, myself included, we've been going to various incidents throughout the state. I listed on here Santa Barbara County, the Lake Fire, the Turbine Fire in Kern, the Canyon Fire in Tuolumne County, the Cypress Fire in San Luis Obispo County. That was basically between Cambria and Templeton. We participated in all of those. Special programs and projects. We worked with the Fire Safe Council and held that town hall meeting at the beginning of the month, beginning of last month. Really positive. I got a lot of good feedback on it. It was great that the Fire Safe Council was able to put that together. Jose Torres and his group did a great job. Got a lot of good questions out of it. Hopefully we got a lot of good information out. I look to keep that information flow going to the community. And we had some discussions about defensible space, some discussions about the local ordinance here with weed abatement. And we took in some information. They did a simulation, sand table simulation. That is always an interesting exercise because the you can always make a fire do what you want it to do with a computer simulation, but you know the conditions might not necessarily be the most realistic, but they certainly cause the chaos and panic that is possible. So that was a good exercise. Glad to see the community out. There was a lot of interest, so we'll continue that. We also participated in training with CHP Helicopter H-70, and so. A few years back, our USAR team, at least the county fire members and the CAL FIRE members, due to some department regulations, we're not allowed to get on the hook on the aircraft anymore, due to some training issues. And so we're working through some jurisdictional boundary issues there. But we do have a workaround for that, and that's to train our personnel to all be ground crew members so that we can put somebody into whatever device that we need to put them into to get them into the helicopter so we can do it all ground-based. Just makes a little bit more work for us because we got to hustle in there to go get whoever it is to wherever they're at. So, and then we look to build off of that and keep growing the program. So that's basically the fire department report in a nutshell. We'll go over some of the statistical stuff and then open it up to your guys' questions. So just the basic statistics. We didn't have any structure fires this last month, but we have been active since the last time I was here in front of you. We've had some good stops on some fires, and we have some fires that got a little out of hand. But your ability, your fire department's ability to respond was appropriate, and we were able to keep the fire from extending into any adjacent structures, and we were also able to prevent anybody from being injured. So wins there. We did have a vehicle fire for the reporting period, some other fires, some debris fires, things like that. Mostly dominated by medical, 79 medicals, and then some rescues, some law enforcement actions that we helped with, a CPR call and some vehicle accidents. A couple hazardous calls, low-hanging power lines mostly, and then public assists, helping people with flooding in their houses because of water or if they've fallen down and they need a little help up. So those types of things. So incidents per month, we're kind of like in a little bit of a downtick, probably because people are out on vacation. But as people come back into the area, that'll probably be a little bit of an uptick. I imagine with the weather that we've been experiencing, we'll probably be getting a lot more people coming through the area just trying to escape the heat. I think today at one point where I was at was 105 in San Luis Obispo. And I said, I really need to leave and get back to where it's reasonable. So I came out to here. So next page, we're getting into the aid given to another agency, or other agency aiding us. We're looking at Morro Bay coming in to help us, or us going to help Morro Bay a few times, us helping the county 8 times, us helping Morro Bay with our squad, and us helping the county with our squad. The blue and the orange indicate the squad versus the engine. And then looks like we've had them come agency to us. We've had 67 helps to us. I got Director Forcray, we got your email with the request and something that we had talked about in the past about getting the annual statistics on there. I was able to get that done today and get that. And so hopefully in the future reports, we'll get that. And if there's additional information that you want, we can always make adjustments to that. I don't know if that made it into your packets because it was kind of a late add. It did not. Okay. So for year to date, we have other agencies aid to us. I'll just speak to the larger numbers because the other ones are 1, 4, 8 like that. But the county's come in to help us 36 times, and the state has come in to help us 29 times. And then we have gone to help the county 55 times, and we've gone to help the state 18 times for the year.
Okay.
So, and then kind of, I was able to go in through and look at the individual calls, and we're not going to produce that in this particular document because it's such a large document. Mm-hmm. But I know that calls out to Montana de Oro were something that was interest. Year to date, we've run about 10 calls out of Montana de Oro. So, okay. I'll kind of give you a small sample of what we're looking at.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Any questions?
I'm sorry. What's the on the other aid, okay. 67, I'm not sure what the acronym USPVT is.
USPVT.
Not important. I just...
I had the same question.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know.
All right.
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I have to find out. That's the first time I've ever seen that.
Okay.
I'll look into that.
Well, we'll put that on the agenda for next month.
Just a key would be nice with the.
Yeah, we've got a small one, but that obviously doesn't cover that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Nope. No, just stay safe.
Okay, I'll try.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Sheriff's report.
Good evening, members of the board, staff, and public. I'm Stuart MacDonald from the Sheriff's Office. For August of 2024, in Los Osos, we had 4 assault and battery calls. One was a battery call, and 3 were domestic violence-related calls. We had 38 disturbances, which included 27 general disturbances, 4 neighbor disputes, 4 family disputes, 2 loud music complaints, and 1 party call. We had 2 burglaries, One was a commercial burglary. The other was actually an unfounded residential burglary. Someone called to report that they believed someone was breaking into their home, and that that person was both at the front door and the back door while the homeowner was there. But just prior to our arrival, that person was able to determine that it was actually the neighbor's dog that was trying to get probably because they probably give the dog treats and
cooking bacon.
And it was late at night. So it can be, you know, these things can be very upsetting, but in that circumstance, there was the nice thing about that is there was an explanation. They were able to have some peace of mind because a lot of times we'll get animals that will cause a racket somewhere on someone's property. And by the time we get there, the animals left and we can't find any signs of human nefarious behavior. And so there's still that unsettling, what was it that caused the problem? We had four petty thefts in Los Osos in August. That means that the value of loss for those thefts was under $950. There were no vandalisms reported, which is good. We had been having a pretty steady stream of graffiti. So in August, that activity has at least not been reported to us, but hopefully with the kids going back into school at this point, they'll be tied up on other things and not doing that graffiti vandalism. There was one mail theft reported to us that was in the 1900 block of 10th Street. There were 25 suspicious circumstance calls, 10 of which were suspicious circumstances, 11 suspicious persons, and four suspicious vehicles. And the deputies that work in Los Osos over the course of the month conducted 48 enforcement stops, which included 41 vehicle stops and 7 pedestrian stops. And then they engaged in 39 preventative patrol activities, which included 25 on-site activities, which are generally self-initiated contacts or activities to investigate. 6 parked vehicle investigations, 5 patrol checks, 2 extra patrols, and 1 foot patrol. And with that, that concludes my report, and I'm available for any questions or concerns.
Nope. Did a great job, including telling us about the dog and right. Front and backyard at the same time. Man. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good evening, and we'll see you next
time. We have a highway patrol report? No. Okay, so that's the last public safety report, so we'll move on to agenda item number 7, general action items.
Don't I have to take public comment?
Oh, public comment. Any public comment on the public safety reports?
If you're online, please raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come up to the podium.
Okay, now we'll move to number 7, general action items. A, board of directors appointment process and timeline for the 2 open seats. The recommendation is to receive the report and provide direction to staff. So that being said, Mr. Munns, would you like to take it over?
I have a brief presentation to just bring everybody up to speed, and we do have some clarifications to make since the staff report went out. Just for a little bit of background, there are 2 seats up for election for our upcoming November 2024 election. The filing period closed on August 9th with no filing papers submitted, and that included our 2 seated board members. We did have a little bit of confusion on the incumbency status. When we went to districting, staff had assumed that our 2 outgoing or incumbents that didn't file papers we thought were the incumbents didn't file papers so that the period would have been extended by 5 days. We were informed on Tuesday, August 13th by the clerk recorder's office that was not the case, and so it did close on August 9th. We had a couple of people that tried to file papers during the extended period, and we're told that news. And that's when we were first alerted on Monday evening about the misunderstanding. And that's basically sums us up right now. So we don't need that slide. So where do we go from here? The appointments for the two open seats will be 4-year terms. The district board, all of you, will be making an appointment recommendation to the county for those seats for their because the board of supervisors actually make the final appointments. So anything we will forward to them is for their consideration. That's the key clarification. We need to make that at our October 3rd meeting to make sure it gets into the county sequence and their timeline for certifying the elections and the new members.
Excuse me, Rich. Yes. Richard, could you shut the door, please? Thank you. You knew what I was going to say. Thank you.
So the application period is open, and we revised the application a little bit to make sure it's understood what the process is, that this board will make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. The period will close on September 25th at 4 p.m. And then in the application, we've provided a brief summary of what it takes to be a board member, or the commitment to be and responsibility to be a board member. And we are asking people that have submitted applications come to our October 3rd meeting in case there are any questions or clarifications that the board would like to ask them at that time. So with that, that's all I have to present. There's any questions about the process or any other comments, prepared to answer.
Yep. Any questions before we go to public comment? Yeah, it was very confusing because I was in the clerk's office the Friday, the last day, and they weren't clear to me either about that. So,
it was difficult. Daniel really helped out on bringing me up to speed and looking at the actual language.
Right.
And we didn't really get much information from the clerk's office, which didn't help.
And Daniel, would you like
yes, to? Yes, and Director Okielski and directors, I did want to just make some clarifying points, because both for you, but also for members of the public and your residents who may be interested in what happened here. So the issue is that Directors Okielski and Gatchell ran in 2020, and at that time, then your board moved, the district moved to district-based elections in 2022, at the end of 21-22. So the question is, what seat were you running, were you elected to? And in that case, you were not elected to, the two directors here were not elected to the seats for areas 3 and 5, because those seats were newly created in 22. And so therefore, actually what's where the city clerk gets there, the city clerk recorder is following the law just as the district is. I also do want to add that nothing stops folks from applying before the August 9th deadline, whether an incumbent is running or not. But if either of the directors were to run, you actually would not have been able to put incumbent on the ballot. That's what state law clarifies. It specifically says that if you ran for an at-large position and you're now running for a district-based position, you are not the incumbent. The law is very clear on that point. And so it's hidden. It's hidden in California law, but the law is very clear. I also do want to note that the district has done everything correctly in this matter, that the district has followed the law, and we agree with the actions of the clerk recorder's office. First, the district does not conduct elections. And the district on the website, as a courtesy, copied and pasted information from the clerk recorder's office from the county about what the filing deadline would be. The district also was contacted by the resident, I think your staff report notes, on August 12th, and promptly followed up with the county the following day. So I believe that the language that the clerk recorder is using is that the recommendation from your board of directors will be a nomination that is sent forwarded from their office to the board of supervisors, who is the supervising authority who will ultimately make that appointment. And they are asking that you do that. You would have to act basically by your October meeting for the board of supervisors to make their appointment.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so if we don't have any questions, we'll go to public comment. Anybody in the audience wants to public comment, please step up to the podium. After we're done inside, then we'll go to online. Please state your name for the record.
Good evening, Julie Tacker. And I think it's unfortunate that the distinction wasn't made clear earlier and that the district's website reflected that language, that there was the extension. And according to your staff report, there two people did attempt to file during that extension. And as you go forward this month and take applications, perhaps you look at those people. I believe Ron knows who they are. Should be given some preference in that they followed what was the guidance that was on your website. They followed the what they believed to be accurate. And so I'm glad that the process going forward has been clarified in that the district themselves, you are not appointing. It is the Board of Supervisors that appoints, and that that's just ironed out. So we've got a month to get there or whatever. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, any online, Laura?
If you're online, please raise your hand. None online.
Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring back to the board.
I just want to make sure, because I'm not looking at, I'm looking at this black and white map that's in our.
Oh, there's okay. Another one up there.
Because you cannot tell, there's looks like four districts on the black and white map. The shading is just so subtle. So basically, it's El Moro. It seems like, is it dividing line for these two districts?
Thanks.
Thank you, Richard. The second time you've done something today.
Okay, there we go.
Can you pass them down?
Okay. Oh, there's a block right in the middle. That's the one I was missing. Okay. Because when people ask, this is kind of what they want to know.
It is color online.
And how soon can we get back to at large? Anyway, it's a topic for another day.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? So we don't need to take, think we're everybody's on board with proceeding
the way. As long as you understand the process and are okay with the adjustments we've made.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's move on to item number 8 then. Public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand.
If you're in the boardroom, please step up to the podium.
There's not online.
Nobody in here either. Okay. We'll move on to item number 9. Administrative and committee reports. The first report is utilities department report, written only. Does staff have anything to add to that?
Not at this time.
Okay. General manager's report.
Just real quick, we have a few items. I did put on some of the utilities related things into my general manager's report, just so people would see those. Hopefully,
you do that every meeting, every month.
And so just some of our projects are moving forward. The big one, SCADA, We're really happy. We had a non-mandatory proposal meeting and had a great turnout of consultants interested. So we're excited about that. The groundwater monitoring wells, LA 14 and 16, which are district property now, are moving forward. We hired Cleith Harris to do the design and construction management. You'll see a bid package for the actual construction work at your October meeting. We've been recruiting for a water resource operator. We've been down to four for quite a while now. We just finished interviews yesterday, and we will be doing second interviews next week and having a new person on board hopefully soon. So we're excited about that. Just a little bit of update on my FEMA and Cal OES meetings. I think we're getting closer. The FEMA process has gotten a little bit of hung up on the environmental historical preservation review. There's a bit of communication lapse between U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and FEMA that I'm working through, but I think we're getting there. And I'm working with the county to do a retroactive emergency permit that we should have had for doing the temporary repairs. So I'm in the process of going through that application process, and we should have that in the next 3 weeks, possibly.
Could you explain what you just said?
When we started doing work up there.
Under emergency basis.
Coastal development permit. And Coastal didn't have an opinion on it, so they said, referred me to the county, and the county said, oh, you should have gotten one, even if it was an emergency. But they understood, because of the nature of the emergency, that we didn't apply for one. So working through county planning, I'm just...
So we're doing a retroactive application?
Right. And that'll help us do the next phase of work we still need to do on the basin.
So are they going to, I'm just trying to understand. So is staff going to do comments on that application, or is it just going to be approved?
I think it's just going to be approved. I've worked through planning, Trevor Keith and others.
So we're not going to, you see where I'm going with that.
It's not going to be a problem as long as I get all the information they've requested.
Okay. So whatever they ask for, we're going to give them. Okay.
Exactly.
And then the other stuff's down the road.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's confusing. we've never managed a disaster like this before. Chief Province mentioned the Fire Safe Council Locust Focus Group event. Great. We're working with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on some of the fuel mitigation measures, how it involves the snail and some of the endangered plants. So I think we're going to have another similar town hall in April, right before weed abatement season. So we're excited about that. And then finally, I do want to recognize a couple of our employees. Nate Paul, our water crew leader, celebrated his 14-year anniversary. And Carol Gilmer, our admin clerk that takes care of the front desk, celebrated her 5-year. And we're just really happy for their contributions to our district. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Can you go into a little more depth on the SCADA thing here? Because I understand what it is, but could you go a little more depth into the process?
What SCADA does for us, we don't have a super complicated system, but it is essential that our wells and our tank levels are matching, and then we sequence how we run our wells. Like, for instance, Palisades goes last, 8th Street goes second to the last, and then it rotates through. So the communication we have right now is, like, we have a very archaic phone line system for part of it. We have a radio system for another part. But fortunately, they all do communicate up to 16th Street tank, which is one of our key facilities. What we're going to do is, it's a design build contract that we'll enter into, and we'll replace all the old equipment with modern state-of-the-art equipment.
Are we just looking at one
the SCADA company, or are there multiple contracts? That's what I meant.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. Well, we'll have a consultant for the design build, and then they will recommend the hardware will be, computers, all right. That'll be fairly standardized. When you get into the actual SCADA, which is the program software, that will be a specific one. But what we're looking for is a non-proprietary, or what I should say, it's proprietary, but there's a lot of integrators, they call, so you aren't relying on one company like we do with our Tesco unit. They're the only right. ones that can work on that. So we can go out and find, competitive.
Okay. So, that's what I was asking. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I just wanted to know if it was a single source or if we had options for.
Right.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll move on to Chamber of Commerce report.
What I'm doing with the chamber, since we've had kind of lost communication with them a little bit, is I've reached out. We will put in their newsletter that comes out, which does talk to some of the events coming up. And I've asked Jim Stanfill to contact me if there's something really special that they may want to come and talk to. So we're trying to figure out a way to better communicate with them and get their activities on our agenda and highlighted.
Yeah, because I know for the Christmas tree lighting is going to be entirely different this year than last year or previous years. So we'll deal with that when we come around to that. But, okay. All right. LOCAC report.
Okay. I went to LOCAC and
I requested that you go in my place.
Mostly we spoke about the growth rate implementation for the county. There's a few important dates coming up. October 5th, the county's planning a town hall meeting here in Los Osos. Then at the end of October, the Board of Supervisors meets to consider accepting the changes the Coastal Commission suggested and basically to approve the community plan update. Or the community plan, which then would go back to Coastal Commission towards the end of the year. So there's a lot of important pieces coming here for Los Osos. Also, we talked a little bit more about the Montana Douro operating agreement. Supervisor Gibson wasn't there, but his colleague Blake Fixler was there, and he they expressed that the supervisor is dedicated to removing all that language out of the operating agreement in the next, but they have 5 years because they extended the contract for 5 years. And that was most of it. There's a lot of details in the community plan and the community plan update and the growth rate implementation, and the county has a website for it. It's in the planning department, and you can find a ton of information about how that's going to be implemented, what the rates are, what they're based on, and things like that.
Any questions? Okay. Parks and Rec. No meeting, no report. Utility Advisory Committee meeting report, verbal report, Mr. Cicina.
We met, I believe it was the same day as the Basin Management Committee, and a lot of that information I'll let Ron handle. But basically, utilities went over the growth management ordinance that the county had presented to the Basin Management Committee. And that's the annual update. What the Coastal Commission passed was a long-term 20-year plan that talks about 1% growth rate per year. Annually, the county passes a growth management ordinance. I think that's Title 26. Mm-hmm. And that sets the growth rate for the next year. And current discussions are talking about 0.4% for 2025, based on the fact that we don't have the running five-year average for the sustainable yield in That was the crux of the discussion, and you'll hear more in the Basin Management Report. Okay. But pay attention, October 5th. There's going to be a lot of information at that town hall meeting. A lot.
Okay. All right. Finance Advisory Committee meeting report, verbal report.
So we have a new committee member, Kathy, and what was her last name? Corthon? Corson. So we appreciate all the people that volunteer for our committee. So I'm very grateful we have someone new. It's nice to have a full committee. And then other than that, it was a pretty quick meeting. They recommended approving the warrant register, receiving and filing the financial reports.
Any questions? Emergency Services Advisory Committee meeting report.
Yeah, so I think a lot of this pretty brief meeting, but just kind of waiting for the strategic planning and those types of items that are coming. They just kind of expressed as that strategic plan is being developed and the financial impact of the building stuff that we really concentrate on community outreach and education when we have to go down any kind of tax rate or anything like that that might occur from the strategic plan.
Right, and we did go over the budget. We didn't have a meeting prior to the budget adoption, so we did after budget adoption and reviewed that with the committee. But we did talk a lot about the emergency services strategic plan that I'm putting together right now, hoping to daylight that maybe at their November meeting, and then it would come back to the board sometime after that.
Okay, thank you. BMC.
I'm going to let Ron fill you in. He probably has a better handle on anything that might have updated since then.
Well, nothing's really changed, but it is important. You know,
I was there for part of the meeting.
That's true. Oh, I can't forget that. We did do a,
that's right, a
resolution, yeah, of appreciation or recognition of Marshall and his years of service on that. So thank you for reminding me, Marshall.
I didn't remind you for that purpose, but thank you.
No, I definitely
wanted said that because I wanted you to know there was another pair of ears.
Yeah. But the meeting did focus on the growth management ordinance. The county provided a fairly brief presentation, and they did state that there's still a lot of details to be worked out. They did commit to come back to the next Basin Management Committee, which we did push back. I believe it's still going to be on August 25th. September 25th. So with any updates, because they have quite a bit of work to do to put in what, you know, how it's actually going to function, day-to-day function, because there's questions about, okay, you start issuing permits and then people don't immediately start building. A permit can go on and on for several years, actually, and that we'd be able to somehow track of where all these issued permits are, so all of a sudden we're not getting a bunch of new development that hits final at the same time with that, and then we don't have a chance to analyze the annual data. It won't impact the annual data, because that's one of the key things is we've made it very clear and negotiated with the county that the BMC wants to weigh in every year on what that growth rate should be and what's going on in the basin. So that's one of the key pieces. So we'll have another opportunity to hear a county update in late September. There's the October 5th meeting. There'll be another LOCAC, I think, update after the October 5th meeting before it then hits the Board of Supervisors on October 29th.
Matthew's LOCAC report has got a real good timeline for all of the county meetings, for approvals, and the steps out here in the community. It's time to pay attention.
Yeah, and like Matthew said, they do have all this on their website now, the schedule and everything, and we'll try to keep everyone updated on our website as well.
Yeah. Well, I think the coordination between the BMC and the county on the, on the growth rate is critical, because the BMC is doing the reports and the water well monitoring and all that stuff. So you all have the
information. I think staff's been working pretty well together on that. I'm happy to see that.
And you know, we emphasize from a BMC perspective, they're using the basin yield metric, basin yield metric as the indicator on the basin health. But we want to make sure they understand there's other metrics that we need to account for as well.
No, I stayed for that part of the meeting, and I thought that that was a very good presentation by county staff, and it was very, very understanding of the interaction, the interplay between.
Well, and I believe the people we're working with right now, they've been very cooperative and transparent so far with us, so we really appreciate
that. That's the way it appeared at that part of the BMC meeting.
Yeah, the spring monitoring data really didn't give us a whole lot of new information. Water levels held about the same, maybe dropped a little, chlorides bouncing about the same. So, you know, it's there's still some uncertainty as we step through. And it was certainly glad to see that they cooperated and talked and right. Didn't just run with the 1%.
Right. Okay, thank you. Director's announcement of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars.
Nothing here.
Basin management, or not basin management, estuary program, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I didn't bring a report on that, but we did have a very good meeting. It was for our approval of our annual budget and work program. So it was very well done. Eelgrass is still booming along.
We see lots of it.
I know. Well, especially in areas where we didn't see it before, specifically right by the pier in Baywood, there's eelgrass right off that the pier now.
Make sure that you express our appreciation for the way they've been coordinating with us with grants for our monitoring wells and that kind of thing. Appreciate
$75,000.
Yeah, appreciate the NEP's help on that.
That's when I have to step
put the hammer down.
And recuse myself.
Oh, I see. Step back.
I can't be giving money to ourselves. Okay, anybody, nothing else? Then we'll go ahead and go to public comment. Well, first of all, does anybody want to pull anything off the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go ahead and take public comment for item on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you're online, raise your hand.
If you're in the room, please step up to the podium.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker, and I wanted to start with the October 5th mention. As far as I know right now, it is not going to be filmed. And that is very concerning because it is an important meeting. And personally, I can't be there. And I'm at everything. Anyway, so that is concerning to me.
Just as a bit of background, we'll give you some additional time, but this is going to be at separate tables. There's no, so
yeah.
I mean,
so the format is funky. Yeah,
so
also,
the format doesn't allow for.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you go back.
All right, thank you, Marshall. The other subject I wanted to just touch on, because I did attend the fire meeting last month. Great presentation. The room was pretty full. What my to my surprise, I was so happy to see so many people that I haven't seen since the pandemic. In, you know, just I don't even see them around town anymore. So that was really fun to see faces and a lot of good questions and good information there. Then the last one on your consent calendar in the warrant register and the disbursements there, my eye went to the legal counsel charges, and all told they're about $5,000. And what I see how they're broken out per each department. What occurs to me is, and I attend a lot of meetings, different districts, some districts actually have a legal counsel report, and it's just quick verbal, doesn't have to be anything expensive or written. They're already on the clock sitting here. They could tell you and what my curiosity is, are what exactly projects that he's working on for admin, for fire, for water, for trash. You know, if we could just get some, because the description, and I know that's a software thing, on the warrant register isn't specific to the kind of work that's going on in those places. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, sir. Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I too wanted to talk about this October 5th meeting. I think that we need to not accept that a town hall meeting is a bunch of disjointed little tables that people mumble around looking at this, and half of it's not even anything people understand. This is not acceptable. We waited 30 years. This is the whole future of Los Osos. This is not a corridor study. I urge you to maybe write a letter to say that it needs to be a real town hall meeting. We used to have them. The county used to know how to do them. And it needs to be filmed, because Joe Blow, that's out of town, might want to look and find out. His neighbor says, yeah, I got this at a table. This is pathetic, and I'm really, really, I'm totally upset about it. I don't think that the county is giving us our due concern. Just to remind you, back in between 83 and 1989, the county built 1,240 homes here. They opened it up before the moratorium hit. That's about 250 homes per year. We're looking at, you know, way less, but we don't have any idea how they're doing it. They don't even know how they're doing the growth management. They don't know if you've already got your permit in. If you move to the top of the list, they haven't necessarily contacted that 250, 260 people on the list. I think we need to demand that they do this right. This is our only chance. We've waited 30 years, for God's sakes. Come on. The growth management ordinance, nobody knows what that means. So it needs to be cleared up. Habitat conservation plan, a lot that's been strafed, has nothing living on it anymore. How much is it going to pay compared to the one that has oak groves and wild nature stuff, native plants? How much, what's the difference? What's the bank? There's no information currently. And in 1 month, they're going to have this together to, you know, it'll be real easy if they do it at little tables, because then we'll all know nothing. So I beg you to please write a letter from the CSD saying we really, this is a very important town hall meeting. We'd like it to be done professionally and recorded so that people can get the information when they watch it later. Please. Thank you.
I'm seeing nobody else in the room. Do you have nobody online? So we'll close public comment. I think, Ron, would you like to just speak a little bit about to the format? Because I know we've had discussions with the county on the format. There's been multiple discussions. I've had discussions with Supervisor Gibson and with John Anslabera. So,
well, yeah, I have to agree. And it really does. They haven't really come out and said exactly. We've heard about the tables, and one's going to be on CHP, one on the growth management ordinance, one on there's some other ones. I think there's four sewer connections, and there's one I'm not thinking. And then from our staff level, we kept saying, well, people want to be in one place and hear the questions and hear the answers. And they've said something to the effect that that'll be part of it too. Now, whether that actually happens, I will convey again, especially after hearing the public and the board, that you know we really need to have a format where at least part of the meeting is a general question and answer period.
And that could be a filmed portion. I understand the difficulty of the right stations, but certainly the question and answer period should be filmed for viewing later. It would be nice if they didn't screen the questions for removal of the difficult ones. You know, that's almost too much to ask. And that's the problem with screening questions instead of letting people ask their questions. But I certainly would support that we weigh in and say this: the parts that can be filmed for later viewing should be.
I will pass that along.
Thank you.
I feel pretty, very strong about it as
well. Yeah, I think we all feel pretty strong about that. Okay. So we have no further discussion. I need a motion. Matthew.
So is that my turn? I move we receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we need a roll call? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It passes unanimously. So future agenda items, does anybody have any items they'd like to request for as a future agenda item?
Yes. We have several coming, so yeah. Any suggestions are welcome, but we have quite a few.
Welcome. Well, yes, I know at financial advisory, there's a number of things, and the SCADA thing is
right. And we have reserve policy. Thing.
Yeah, reserve policy. And
that's why I was surprised there wasn't more now. I know there's a lot on the.
Yeah, it's all how table. It kind of.
Yeah, flows. All fits together. Okay, so closing board comments. We'll start with you, Chuck, and then run our way through here.
I'm sure everyone has noticed that the mornings are busy with everyone going back to school, and it's good to see the bicycles. I just love living in a town where you see children riding their bicycles to school without, you know, an adult chaperone. Even they're safe enough to be able to do that, and it's just a wonderful thing. And let's enjoy our summer that's coming up. Best time of year out here.
Hey, record temperatures in San Luis Obispo today. It was hot.
That's why we like it here.
Well, yes, yeah. Okay, Matt, do you have anything? Chris?
No.
I don't have any closing board comments. So with that, then, we'll go ahead and adjourn.